Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Something to say?
Follow us on Twitter
at TNT Radio Empire
and tweet back. You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
So I'm looking for the temperature gauge because we have a new policy here. You got to take your temperature, and got to do it when I showed up. And I'm walking back by, Craig has his own office, but there's a whole big section here where all
the common folk,
sit.
The cubicles.
Craig special.
Not like Craig.
There's a cubicle area.
And I'm walking back there because I thought it was back there, and nobody's there because it's 7 o'clock central. The rest of the staff's not here for the rest of the day, just morning people. And I walk by and go, just let one go. Come around the cubicle, and Donna's sitting there, a friend of ours who works down the hallway. I said, what, do you got Stairway to Heaven on or something like that? So I found it. I'm 97.7 The Rock. That's my temperature, 97.7.
Ah, okay. With the hat on.
With the hat on. I don't think that matters.
Yeah, see, I'm still winning 97.1 this morning.
Yeah, my research would tell
bring
you otherwise.
Bring it in and, do Nick.
No, you got to do your own.
No, those guys did me.
Oh, really?
What are we talking about here?
What do you care?
Yeah.
As long as you're in there somewhere, Nick. Stop complaining.
Now, you've been doing this for weeks now. Your other job, you take your temperature, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we got one of those things you aim, aim at your forehead. You got to get kind of close.
They finally got one at work that takes an accurate reading.
Yeah, I think this one does, too.
Which
so far,
is good.
Yeah.
I think I carry a low temperature.
Yeah. Well, they say most people are a little lower than,
Yeah, the 98.6 is, that's not considered, the absolute anymore. There's a range.
You still want to be below that.
I'm usually like 92, 93.
Well, that's wrong.
That's way like too hypothermic.
Low. That means your thing's not working.
Right. Right. That means
it's not possible to be 92 right. And be walking around.
You just came
out
of
it.
Not compatible with life.
No, really?
It might read that, but it's off.
That means they just pulled your body out of a frozen lake. That's what that means.
And you work at a pharmacy.
Yeah. Huh. Well, that's what it reads. I wonder if it's the thermometer.
Yeah, it is the thermometer.
Don't buy the thermometer from that place.
Anything below 95 is considered hypothermic.
Guess I'm just a cold-hearted dude.
No, well, that's not it at all.
It's not your heart.
Your thermometer's broke. Your thermometer's broke. Take it anally next time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Every time.
Shoot the laser right at your butt. See what works.
I know the hat has been well-researched now.
Really?
At least 50 times. I will come home, usually after I get off the air, take my temperature, and then take my hat off and take my temperature 15 minutes later, and it's always at least a degree cooler.
Wow.
Apparently, I'm just a weirdo. I haven't been worried. If I don't, I'm not taking my temperature 9 times a day because I don't feel bad, and it's,
like Craig mentioned,
you can tell.
You know when you have a fever.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean they shouldn't be taking these things, especially because people are going to go places with a fever.
But I have a thermometer.
I would take the day off.
Right on my desk at home. So, I'll take my temperature 3-4 times a day.
Yeah, but then you got to go to all that trouble to drop your pants and bend over. Right.
I just touched the forehead.
Oh.
Pants are already off. If he's at the computer, his pants are off anyway.
Today.
Couldn't you just attach it to the chair?
Right. Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I should just take my, I'm going to touch my taint with the thermometer today and see if there's any difference. My forehead temperature and my taint temperature.
You can add a variable to your experiment.
Yeah, tell management that. That's how I'm going to start taking my temperature here.
As long as you don't touch your taint, just aiming at it and get it pretty close, you're fine.
I bet you the taint would be considerably warmer.
We should try that.
Yeah, but do you want to walk around the corner and see Todd with his leg up on the desk?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, the answer is yes.
Twice a day?
The answer is yes.
Like you haven't seen that before.
Pants on the ground, foot up on the table.
And we know that wouldn't be a nut-free counter, too. That would lay right there. He's got long nuts.
Yeah. And then out of curiosity, once in a while, I'll come up from the basement after I've done a workout and take my temperature, and it's pretty low. You would think working out would increase your body core temperature.
I don't know.
But it could be because, you know, my basement's cold. My basement runs about 60 degrees.
That thing doesn't know if it's aimed at your skin. It's just aimed at your forehead. So you could aim it at your taint and see what your temperature is there.
Yeah.
It should be the same.
It should be.
I don't know. It's usually a little warmer in the taint area than it is in the
forehead. Dr. Mina, when you hear this tomorrow, after you face palm five times, Dr. Mina, let us know if we can take that temperature reader on Todd's taint.
I think we should take Puss's word for this because he may know.
Sounds
pretty confident.
Yeah, he says our taints are warmer than our heads, whatever.
But I would ask the doctor.
They do different things.
What's the most accurate way of getting you want the core temperature. You want your body core temperature.
But what's your core right there in your midsection? I would think something shoved up your butt would give you the.
That's closest to the core.
That's closest to the core.
It's going
to
be warmest, and it's also going to be moist.
She's facepalm. Oh, yes. She's facepalming
moist.
Again.
As I remember as a kid, when we had the mercury thermometers, it was either under your tongue, under your armpit.
Yeah, my armpit when you're a little kid,
Or in the butt.
Yep. You never want to use that.
I learned that that's referred to as the mother's way.
The butt?
The butt? Yeah. That's mother's way.
And I hope they didn't use the
same thermometer.
Tell
that to Mike Pence.
We don't need to.
No, he knows.
No, he might be into the
mother.
Yeah, we assume he's into the
bag. If you put a
He likes big thermometers.
Rectal thermometer.
Yeah, attached to dudes.
Into Mike Pence, he would say, is that all you got?
That's all you got.
Mother.
Yeah, put the other end in there.
Yeah, he's being pegged as we speak.
Well. He might be.
Oh, I shipped over a nice little piece from Vice about pegging.
Advice.com, Gina Tonic is her name.
That's not her name.
You're saying Gina Tonic is not her name?
That's her writing name.
Her name's basically Gin and Tonic?
You don't name your
very
kid,
good.
You don't name your kid Gin and Tonic.
Well, you
just,
don't.
They're just an alcoholic.
Yeah, you don't. Maybe the Tonic family does.
I don't think there's a real name. I do like to play on words. Gina Tonic. I do like
that. That's a good pen name.
Yeah, totally great pen name.
I would have named our youngest Vodka Soda.
Well, that'd be too stupid.
Yeah, nobody gets
especially because your last name's not Soda, dumbass.
Yeah.
Well, it'd have to be his middle name.
Okay.
First name, Vodka.
Yeah, but Gina's an actual name.
Vodka Soda Allen. I don't get it. My dad was drunk. Don't ask.
Still is.
Gina Tonic, advice.com, says that she really likes pegging dudes. She mentions that what she likes is the role reversal in the power play. So Gina asked other women why they enjoyed pegging their man. The answer that kept coming up was basically the feeling of dominating their partner.
For guys, like it, don't you?
Yeah. For guys, the response was along the same lines, just opposite. Ben, the 33-year-old Ben, says that there's a release for him just giving up power. He says it also feels incredible. Outside of the relationship dynamics, sex therapist Jillian Myhill says that a guy's prostate is basically the male G-spot, and having it stimulated can induce a completely different kind of orgasm.
Sit on that chair at the airport. Yeah. You'll get your G-spot rubbed.
This used to be a daily topic for a while on this show.
Oh, my God.
There was a run of guys emailing us about...
Well, we had a girl go up. She went out and pegged guys.
Yeah. And guys like it.
We just hooked
some guys.
We hooked them up, yeah.
Well, I got you pegged.
Would they show up with their own peg?
We didn't get into those details. We just introduced people.
We didn't want to border on prostitution, so all we did was give each other names.
You didn't want to get too involved.
What they would do
we didn't want to get too
first,
involved. Right.
What they would do first, she insisted that they would get together and say, go have a meal and talk about what was going to happen. Because many times, since she had done this a lot, and the guys had never done it, they had to talk about what was going to happen and how it was going to happen.
Got
to
start slow.
Yeah, and so they would, so they have the original meeting to discuss all those questions that you
and she was involved.
Nick.
She was involved with Dick the Dominator.
Yeah,
there were a couple And she was going out and pegging guys, and he didn't care. They had a different relationship. They broke up, haven't they?
I think so. Yeah, yeah. Being on the receiving end of a pegging.
All right. I got some pegging stuff in here.
Do you?
I bet so. Yeah. There were some waiters, some servers that walked up on some interesting conversations.
Oh, yeah. Big
well,
time.
Well, you know, so often, even in just your regular life, you'll walk in on a conversation and hear one line.
Yeah.
Like Puss walks into the studio.
Every damn day.
You'll hear one line. And go, oh, God, what are y'all talking about? No, don't tell me.
Daily occurrence.
Where's that chick that does the pegging? Where's that chick that does the pegging?
Yeah, the waiter walks up, and all he hears is, well, we'll start with just a finger.
Of scotch?
That happens at all.
No.
Well, you got to look at the menu.
Is it safe for me to peg him?
All right. A lot of pegging. Yeah,
so. Take if you're a dude and a rookie to it, you'd have to start small.
Like a pinky or middle finger.
Yeah.
Or like a ring finger. Yeah, peg away.
None of that sounds appealing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your butt, your prostate is,
you don't
I'm
know.
Telling you, man, sit on that chair. You'll go, oh. Yeah.
I mean, I really can't say because I haven't tried it.
Like the massage chair is one thing, but just having like.
Oh, come on. It's definitely.
The peg jammed in there repeatedly would be different.
Well, depending on how she's repeatedly doing that.
Nick, your dad called. Sure. Your dad called. He said you're no son of his.
I'm going to get disowned.
We should probably move on.
Yeah, let's do that.
We can continue this discussion in another segment.
Right. It was on this date in 2016, Dr. Henry Heimlich,
the maneuver.
Old Heimlich.
Used the maneuver he invented to save a woman. This was his very first time.
Oh,
well,
he's
cool. Demonstrated the technique numerous times in his life, but this was the first time
somebody's choking
in 2016 that the 96-year-old had actually performed it on someone who was choking.
He had to have some strength at 96 to do a Heimlich on somebody.
No, you got to have the technique.
Yeah, but he's 96.
He's still got the technique.
You still got to really be able to squeeze
in
there.
Of course he's got the technique. Right. He invented it.
How did he tell everybody about that?
Yeah, how did you come?
My grandfather saved me from dying.
To that conclusion.
Not that way, though.
I don't know.
And once you found out, how do you get the word out? You'd be like, hey, I've invented a maneuver.
Plus, first of all, it has to be proven, so it has to be done on somebody that actually choked. I realize he did it. He pushed the belly up, blah, 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 the air shoots out. I get that process, but, you know.
It's right below the sternum where you're supposed to double fist.
Yeah, yeah. And if you're by yourself and nobody's around, bend over a chair and force yourself down on that
thing. We're probably talking to somebody who has administered the Heimlich before.
Oh, sure we have, yeah.
My uncle, I was choking on bacon one time, and he just slapped me in the back real hard.
I was choking on a hot dog, and my parents said my grandfather picked me up by my ankles, and I was hanging upside down. I was just pounding. I was a small kid. He was a big guy. And he just pounded, like, you know, I don't know. I don't remember it.
That's not the right way.
Right.
They used to tell you that.
Oh, yes.
Really?
It worked. Yeah. I was alive.
Well, for kids young enough that you could pick them up and by their feet.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure we're broadcasting to the choking on steak capitals of the United States.
Have to be.
Oh, we totally are. It's very dangerous, man.
Yeah. Chew your food.
Especially when you see we all had little kids when they were really small. When they'd be chewing something, you'd go, you'd wait. It'd be like, they were struggling with something and you freaked out for just a split second. Oh, my God, what a nightmare that was.
I used to be, like, nervous anytime they were eating popcorn.
Yes.
As a kid.
Yep.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I used to, and I've since learned to chew my food. But sometimes when you're eating food rapidly.
Yeah, I've done it.
Like a chip.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That chip.
Sideways in your throat.
A triangle chip will get lodged in your throat.
Yeah.
It just feels like you're getting stabbed.
Yeah.
So chew your food.
I thought I was going to die choking on a chicken nugget at elementary school one time.
Man.
And then this dude was like.
But if you can breathe, if you can talk at all, you're not choking.
I don't know.
There's no air. You can talk. You're not choking.
Work for that dude in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
If you're struggling to breathe.
Our dog was coughing yesterday and 2 days ago. And I go, she goes, why didn't you do anything? Well, he's coughing. He's not choking.
Yeah,
blowing air out.
Officially, that is the line. If you can talk or cough.
Or cough. You're not choking.
You're not technically choking.
You're getting air. Right?
Yeah. You are getting air.
I wasn't getting much air. Then this dude I was in class with didn't believe. He's like, you weren't choking on that. I'm like, man, I thought we were friends. And that was it. I was done with that guy.
At least you've let that go.
I was done with that guy. Whatever happened to that guy? Oh, you're done with him.
He's probably working for NASA or something. He was smart.
Didn't take long for this meme to start floating around, but it's that dog from the Central Park video.
Right.
He's in an interrogation room. He says, yeah, I was choked in Central Park.
By the way, she lost her gig.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah, she lost her gig. Good. And she went for how was your walk on? I had to give the dog back and I got fired, but otherwise it's pretty cool.
Yeah. I'll probably go out again tomorrow.
Right. I love how she's on the phone. I saw the video. She's on the phone saying, I'm going to call the police and tell them an African-American man is threatening my life. And he says, no, I'm not. I'm just standing over here. I want you to put a leash in your dog.
He encouraged
her.
And then
she says, her quote afterwards, I'm not racist. Yeah, that's racist.
Cut off.
She did say African-American instead of black guy or something worse.
But he encouraged her to call the cops.
Yeah, he was videoing her. I'm standing there.
Yeah, I saw that dude pop up on Twitter. He's really into birds.
Yeah, he's a bird watcher. He's a black, I don't know why they listed he was a gay man. A black gay man who's he's got a real good gig. I mean, it's just a regular dude, like, you know.
Yeah. Nobody's just a bird watcher anymore.
No.
You know, have your race and your sexual orientation attached to it.
Right.
I remember when they just used to watch birds.
Well, in his case, the bird watching was ancillary. Mm-hmm. Yeah, his main issue was being black and talking to a white woman.
Oh, yeah. You can't do that. Can't do that.
Yeah, she didn't go up and say a bird watcher is threatening me.
But gay, black, and a bird watcher, that puts you in a pretty small category.
It does.
You're like in the 1 percentile.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or perhaps less.
American astronauts set to launch into space from U.S. soil for the first time in nearly a decade this afternoon. SpaceX Crew Dragon capsule will carry Bob Behnken and Doug Hurley to the International Space Station, the first space crew to launch from the U.S. since 2011.
Been 11, really?
Yeah. We've been going with Rushy.
Oh, that's right. Been tagging along.
Yeah, they got to continue the boner in space discussion.
Yeah.
That's right. So they want this flight to prove that it's possible to reuse spacecraft, making space travel a lot less expensive, and this is the first one they're going to try with.
All right.
Yeah, the rest have all been disposable.
Space junk.
Mm-hmm. Well, except for the shuttles.
Yeah.
So how long are they going to be up there?
I'm not sure.
They have a big shuttle. They have
they're just going to the International Space Station.
They had a full-size shuttle at that museum I was at in D.C., and that I couldn't believe how big it was. I couldn't believe how big that shuttle was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they dock with the space station?
Oh, they dock it. They dock it.
And then just jettison the craft? It goes out space junk?
The rocket stages fall off at some point, and it's got to land back on that platform, remember?
Right.
And that's not coming back from the moon, I don't think. I'm sorry, from the space station. Some of these things get jettisoned before, you know, as they get out of the atmosphere, that sort of thing. I don't know exactly how it all works.
A lot of junk hits Uranus.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a little off course.
It's bound to.
It's bound to.
Not if you're aiming for it. It's not, Todd.
Very cool deal here. A former U.S. Marine wants to remind people about a threat to veterans. Over Memorial Day weekend, retired Marine Corps Staff Sergeant Tim Chambers stood on a median in Washington, D.C., saluting for 24 hours.
Whoa. Arm in the air and everything?
Yeah, to bring awareness to veteran suicide.
Yeah.
The Departments of Defense and Veterans Affairs say an active duty service member or veteran commits suicide almost every hour.
Man.
And thanks to Marine Corps Staff Sergeant Tim Chambers, we're talking about this today. Yeah. At least mentioning
it. Yeah.
No. How did he go to the bathroom? Or did he not?
I've given you the information
pouch.
I have.
Pouch, probably. Did he have a or diaper? Did he have a his arm in the air the whole time?
I've given you the information I have.
Without like a little wire to hold it up there?
Yep.
You know, like off the side of your chest.
Yeah. Yep.
That'd make it
right.
Well, it would help.
Well, it'd still fall asleep, even if it was like resting on something. There's no blood flow going
right.
up. Yeah, that would have to be. It sounds
probably
like stand there for
like
a day.
That,
that's got to be exhausting.
Is there any stat out there that says how many homeless people, what percentage of homeless people are veterans?
Yes.
What is substantial.
Pretty significant? Don't know.
Well, what do you consider significant?
Any.
10, 15, 20%?
Yeah.
That would be significant.
If I'm not mistaken, it's in that range, but I don't know. They do have approximations. Of course, those are numbers that you can't necessarily pinpoint because you don't know how many people are homeless in the first place.
No.
Because you can't necessarily. They don't fill out the census form.
No, they don't. They don't have a mailbox.
They're slacking on that, aren't they?
They are.
So when you encounter a homeless person next time, you tell them to get a job, you effing slob, and thanks for serving.
I gave $20 to a homeless lady in Lawrence, Kansas, had two dogs with her. I'm thinking, man, you got to feed the dogs, too.
That's probably her priority.
I'm sorry for her.
Yeah. Who was it? Was it Stephen Wright that had the joke about the homeless dog?
Yeah.
He's like, man, this is the longest walk ever.
that is his joke. I don't even think dogs don't know they're homeless, though.
No. They
lay down and hang out. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was a joke about he walked his dog just once. Went from Boston to Fort Lauderdale.
He might have added on to the joke.
And he's done.
Right.
There, you're done. Walked them all at once.
Knock
hey,
he's
done that
out.
Joke, too. I think they're both his jokes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's Stephen Wright.
Tuesday morning, Monday night, about 1:30 in the a.m., Quick Shop employees told Lincoln, Nebraska police officers that a man ran out of the store without paying for the $67 worth of beer he took with him.
$67? That's a lot of beer, man.
LPD says they found a man matching the description at the nearby apartment complex, just drinking the beer with the other people in the courtyard that he had just given them to, given his beer to. How about there? They were having a little party.
$67?
Yeah.
That'll probably get you a couple 30-packs.
Took three officers to handcuff the man and detain him.
It's a lot of money, man. Beer's pretty cheap.
So he just goes and he says, I'll be right back. I'll go get the beer.
And generally the stuff.
And he did. He went and got the beer and everybody's having a good time. And then, well, he's got to get busted. Yeah. It takes three cops to bust him because he didn't want to get busted.
He's legendary, though, at that party right there.
Yeah, he is.
He's a legend. Legend of the courtyard.
Maybe.
And he's never going to have to go get the beer again. They're going to send somebody else next time.
Yeah. Not his turn.
Pete Lee later on.
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Hey, it's Todd and Tyler.
And thank you for listening to the podcast.
Please take a second to tell us how much you like the podcast.
And don't forget to comment.
Thanks again. On to the next podcast episode.